Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 6 to 14. And this is a real simple little message with a real simple little outline, but a very, very profound subject. We're going to talk today about fellowship. Fellowship. I know you love fellowship. And when we get together in church and we have the opportunity to be with each other and everything is going well, it is so much fun to be with God's people, to have a picnic, to have an outing. Our church enjoys going to the lake for baptisms. Those are fabulous times of fellowship. We love to be together when we have conferences or when we have prayer meeting. The fellowship is always sweet. And people are in the foyer visiting with each other. I've seen it here. I've seen it in other places. Fellowship is a wonderful thing. And people enjoy that about Christianity. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. If it weren't for the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood, we'd have nothing to do with each other in many cases. But now that we're saved and we have a common home and a common Savior and a common joy and common concerns and prayer, our fellowship is sweet. I love God's people. But the subject today is not fellowship. The subject today is fellowship. This is a completely different thing. It may involve fellowship, but more importantly, it involves a faithfulness to each other, particularly when God is moving in a particular direction and needs or desires that others are moving in the same direction as those He's called to follow. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. You'll see what we're talking about. We're in the middle of a context involving Jonathan and his armor bearer going after some Philistines that are in a garrison. The location of the Philistines is that they are up on a cliff. And so watch what happens in verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us." He didn't tell the armor bearer it's a guarantee. He just said, "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Now listen to his armor bearer. Verse 7, "His armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." When I read that, every time I come across that passage, I want to rejoice. Because that armor bearer said to Jonathan, "Whatever you do, I'm going to do. Do all that's in your heart. Turn thee. Behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart." What a tremendous soldier that armor bearer is. Jonathan senses an opportunity. He doesn't guarantee anything to the armor bearer. He's not sure it's going to work out. But he's tired of sitting around like his father, waiting on who knows what to happen. Because Jonathan realizes, you know, the Lord may just save us out of this terrible situation we're in, so substantially outnumbered by the Philistines. If we do nothing, though, nothing's ever going to happen. We've got to get on the move. And so he says, "Come on, let's go." Two guys. And the armor bearer says, "Man, whatever's in your heart, that's in my heart. Let's go." I love that. Verse 8, "Then said Jonathan, Behold," Here's the strategy. "We will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign to us." So, oh boy. You know, So Jonathan said, "Look, This is somewhat of a fleece. Not sure what's going to happen if we stand still and wait for them to come down to us, but if they invite us up there, I'm going to tell you, we're going to whoop those guys. That's going to be a sign to us that the Lord had delivered them into our hand. Verse 11, and both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, Come up to us. Don't you know? There is a moment of rejoicing because that's the sign they were looking for, and yet a moment of apprehension because, are you sure? Nevertheless, come up to us and we will show you a thing. Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him, right on his heels. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Now, there's more to this story, you can be sure, and we'll take that up in another lesson, but we cannot run past the events of 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. There's something going on with that armor-bearer that is just too good. And it's something that is so desperately needed in Christianity today, and in many cases, it's missing in our churches. And we can't have that. We can't have that. Listen, we know that the world practices fellowship. They're mimics is what they are. It's not the same kind of fellowship that we're going to be talking about here today, but it's mimicry. It's peer pressure. Have you ever noticed that? I'm sure you have. Somebody thought, hey, you know what? Let's get some tattoos. And I mean, buddy, it is an industry now in this country. One guy gets them and another guy gets them. And another guy says, well, I can outdo that. And the next thing you know, man, they've got themselves tattooed everywhere from their head to their toes and everywhere in between. It's just crazy. Somebody said, you know what let's do? Let's drop our drawers down here and walk like our pants are about to fall off. And all of a sudden, it is a national craze. And everybody's walking around. Not everybody. I never did it, but you understand. They'll pull the pants down, walking around like the pants are about to fall off. And somehow or another, that's a style. The guys can't even walk. Crotch is so down close to the knees, they can't take a full stride. Craziness. It's like running a potato sack race. You know, it's just funny stuff. But that's the way people are. The hairdos, they follow each other. The clothing styles, they follow each other. Somebody who starts selling ripped jeans for twice as much as they sell whole jeans, and they say, oh my goodness, I've got to have me a pair of those. Anybody who runs around wearing ripped jeans, and they pay twice as much for those as they would for a good pair of Levi's or Wrangler work jeans that could last them four times as long and look good at the same time. You say, what is that? It's fellowship. It's mimicry is what it is. Now, if the world, and they're lost, gets tied up into that thing, why is it in Christianity, when you find somebody that is worthy as a leader, that you don't want to follow him? Listen, when I got turned around for the Lord, I'm telling you, man, started reading that Bible, the first thing that I looked for was some good men to follow. That's right. You say, well, why would you do that? You're just following a man. Listen, buddy. Listen. They have been down the road further than you have. They've lived longer than you have in most cases. They've certainly lived for the Lord longer than you have. They have already seen the pitfalls. They've already seen the devil's deception. They've already seen the trickery. They've already seen the facades. They know the tricks. They know the game. They know the ropes. They know the path. Listen, if you let's say you're going to go down to some country and you say, "Boy, I just like to go around tour the rainforest in Costa Rica." Okay, go ahead. You go out there, no map, no trails, no guide. You're an idiot. In very kind words, you say, "No, I'm not. I'm adventurous." Well, I'll tell you what. There's all kind of things going on in those woods out there that you don't know anything about. And if you get yourself a guide and a map, and a pair of binoculars and follow that guy, he's going to show you stuff you'd never find. You say, how do you know that? I did it. We went down there. I'm telling you, it was fabulous. And I saw these guys that I just kindly and affectionately called idiots. They were having a good time. I understand that. They went down there, you know, and they said, hey, let's just go looking around and we'll see what we can find. No map, no idea. Just get on a path. You can pick them out right away because they're just going, oh, wow, what are y'all looking at? And here we are with the guide, man. He's got a Swarovski spotting scope and a tripod. And I'm telling you, he is picking things out of those trees you would never have seen. Monkeys and sloths and birds and snakes and all kind of things you never would have seen had you not know what to look for. Here we got into some areas like that, and all of a sudden he'd start calling. And the thing would start calling back. He'd set the scope up, said, here, look at that. Man, you're just brought right in there, like you're 50 feet away from the thing. You know why that is? Because you had somebody to follow that knew where he was and where he was going and what to look for. And I'm going to tell you something in Christianity. I found that principle to be true. I found some good men to follow. And you know what? They did not lead me astray. Were they 100% right all the time? Did they take over for the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? Absolutely not. But you know what? They saved me a lot of grief. My growth accelerated. They loved me. They helped me. They prayed for me. They helped me with my wife as she was coming around on this fast track of moving out of the banking business and going into the ministry. Encouraged us, prayed for us, every kind of thing. So we want to talk about this fellowship here today. We want to look at what was going on with Jonathan's armor bearer and get into this message and get out of it something, I believe, that will do you a great deal of good. Fellowship is not a bad thing. You say, how do you know that? How can you be so sure? I'm just really opposed to following a man. For one thing, I know you well enough to know, even though I don't know who you are, that you follow somebody somewhere. It's just the way we are. And you know what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, look what he said to the Philippian church. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do you hear what he said? He said, I want you to follow the things that I've learned. That I've taught you, the things you have learned. He said, those things which you have learned, I want you to follow the things that I've taught you. I want you to follow the things that you have received. I want you to follow the things that you have heard from me. I want you to follow the things that you have seen in me. I want you to do those things. And look how he said the Lord's going to bless you for it. The God of peace shall be with you. Listen, Paul recommended it. Jonathan told his armor bearer to do it. God recorded it and God blessed it. Now, what does it take for good fellowship? Well, it obviously takes a good leader. Okay? That's not the subject of the message. But it takes a good leader. And if you are hanging around with people that are not good leaders, then change your company. The companion of wise men, a man that is with wise men should be wise, and the companion of fools shall be destroyed. I tell you something. People don't believe that enough. And you need to believe it. If you are hanging around people that you cannot follow, then you need to change company. If you're dating a young man and you said, he could never be my spiritual leader, then you know what you need to do? You need to stop that relationship. You need to just go ahead and accept the fact that that person is not for you. That's right. And get with somebody that you can follow when the Lord leads you to him. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay, so let's say you got a good leader. Then here's what it takes. Number one, you got to have the same heart. Verse 7, his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. In other words, whatever is in your heart, that's what's in my heart. Do all that is in thine heart. I am with thee according to thy heart. You know what goes on in that elite forces training, things like SEAL teams? You know what a big portion of that training is? I realize that they're developing their strength, they're developing their courage and their mental attitude, all those other kind of things, but they are developing a camaraderie among those soldiers that knits their hearts together inseparably, so each man is as if he is himself in the uniform of another man. Same heart. Absolutely knit together. Do you know why young men and young women have such a struggle with their Christianity and the competition they have with their flesh and the world's peer pressure? Because they don't have the same heart as Jesus Christ. In all that time that the disciples spent with the Lord Jesus Christ, 3.5 years in his earthly ministry, they received his same gifts. They saw how he ministered. They began to develop the same attitude. He taught them many things. He said, I will make you to become fishers of men. But you know one thing that they ended up with? They ended up with the same heart that he had. You know how you know it? Because they all suffered. Whatever he went through in his crucifixion, they went through in the suffering that they endured for the sake of the gospel. He asked him, he said, are you able to be baptized with the baptism wherewith I'm baptized? And they said, we're able. And he said, you're going to be. And they did. In exile, in martyrdom, they had the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he says to us in Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then how the Lord humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. May I tell you something? That mind, that heart, it's like-minded. That's what he kept telling. That's what Paul kept telling in his epistles to the various churches that he wrote. Whenever there was division among them, he said, "You guys, you've got to be like-minded." And that type of mind starts in the heart. You've got to be knit together. You're in this on the same team. Now listen, you think about congregations that you've seen in churches where there was a split or a brewing split. You know what happened? The hearts became divided. And Paul got after the Corinthian church, and he says, you know what, I've heard from Chloe, there are divisions among you. And we can't have that. We can't have that. And that armor bearer told Jonathan, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, Jonathan, whatever's in your heart, that's what's in my heart. Let's go. It starts with the heart. And I'll say this, when you are in a position of following a good leader, a worthy leader, you get your heart knit with that person. I'll tell you what, that will allow your friendship to withstand every burden that comes between you. Listen, when a husband and wife have the same heart, and then temptation arises and struggles come and difficulties arise, the one thing you can be sure is their heart won't separate. She will follow him as the spiritual leader of their house all the days of her life. It's just like Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going where you go. Your God's going to be my God. I'm going to be with your family. Wherever you die, that's where I'm dying. Same heart. That's fellowship. But also, I'll tell you what else it takes. It takes the same courage. Because I'm telling you, a leader will take you into some areas that will scare you. Jonathan said in verse 8, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we'll discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and we'll not go up unto them. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. What'd they do in verse 11? Both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, that takes courage. That takes courage. Here you are protected. They're way up on the cliff. There's a sharp rock. You're going to have to climb if they do the Lord's sign. And there you're Jonathan says, okay, you ready? Are you Mark? Get set. You're over there going, wait, Jonathan. Whoa. Man, you hadn't thought about this, man. We need to pray about this some more. Have you fasted and prayed for 3 days like Esther did? Come on, Jonathan, you got to think this thing through, man. Those guys are up there. They've got the advantage of height. They're on the Mi'kmaq side. They've got the advantage of being in the north side. Man, and we don't have any insurance at all that God's going to do this. Listen, he hasn't come down here like he dealt with Gideon at all about being outnumbered by the forces. I mean, we haven't seen the barley cake rolling into the tent vision. You know, we hadn't had the fleece opportunities, any of that. So come on, Jonathan, man, you better think through this deal. That armor bearer didn't do that at all. He didn't second guess Jonathan. Jonathan said, okay, here's the plan. We discover ourselves. Oh, we're going to do what? Jonathan, you can just hear that armor bearer, like so many people that say, man, I'll follow you. Doesn't make a difference. Then all of a sudden you tell them what the plan is. Like, oh, buddy, you're on your own. I was talking to a preacher one time. He was in gangs before he got saved. And, the gang challenge, they were on two different sides of the street. And he said, come on, boys, let's go. And he jumps out in the street and starts walking, gets about halfway across the street, turns around and look back, and nobody with his gang is coming. He's thinking, man, I got these guys all by myself. Where are you guys? You know what? They were all hoopa and array when it was just a matter of, you know, trying to knit some hearts together. When it came time to demonstrate courage, they didn't have it. You know what this armor bearer says? Whatever you want to do, pal. It's up to you. It's up to you. Oh, yeah, he said, here's the plan. We start out by discovering ourselves, and then we're going to find out what we do next. Armor bearer said, let's go. Both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. You jump out, I'm jumping out. Oh, I tell you, man, don't you wish you had about a dozen armor bearers like that who'd follow you? I mean, not into stupidity. Jonathan didn't lead him into stupidity. He led him according to what was in his heart, and what was in his heart was something God put in there. And that man, that armor bearer, recognized what God had put in that young man's heart, and he said, I don't care where you go, I'm going with you. And demonstrated the same courage Jonathan had. But that's not all. He also demonstrated the same faith. The same faith. Because watch. They discovered themselves, right? Look at verse 12. The men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us. Well, Jonathan had said to his armor bearer, if they say, come up unto us, then we'll go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. This shall be a sign unto us. So they said, come to us. Come up to us, and we'll show you a thing. You know, give him the big talk, right? Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord, come up after me. See that fellowship? For the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. I'm telling you, just as soon as Jonathan released a foothold and moved up on that cliff, bang, there's that armor bearer, right stride for stride. Same faith. The Lord has given us a sign. These men said, come up unto us. And I'm telling you, if they invite us up there for the fight, we're going to win. And the armor bearer said, let's go do it. And step for step, he followed the faith of Jonathan. Do you have anybody in your life that you can follow in their faith? Bob Jones Sr. said you can follow any man along the right road as long as it's on the right road. Have you ever found somebody like that in your life? They're always talking about these mentor relationships and things like that. You know, I doubt some of those because I'm not real sure that the person who is the one talking all about it is the person that's really worthy to follow. I'm wondering sometimes if they're not after your money or just after the size of the crowd saying, man, I'm a great preacher. Look, I got 7,000 coming to my church. I'm glad you do if you do, but if you didn't get them because God gave them to you, I got real doubts about you. You see? I mean, did you use worldly gimmicks and methods and means to get that type of a crowd? That's not God. Jesus Christ never had to use that kind of a gimmick to get up a crowd. But if you've got somebody you're following who has real faith and real God-given courage and a real heart for the Lord, buddy, go in stride for stride. That armor bearer said, you going up? I'm going up. Let's go. You ready to fight? I'm ready to fight. I got your courage. I got your faith. Let's go. And then they got up there. Jonathan climbed upon his hands, upon his feet, his armor bearer after him. And watch it in verse 13. They fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. He's still following. He didn't say, Jonathan, get out of the way and let me start sticking some of these. I got to get some glory around here. I can't let everybody know that you killed all 20 of them and all I did was mopped up. Man, let me add some of these. I got to take the lead. He didn't jump in there. He had the same zeal, but he never lost his fellowship. You kill him. Listen, you slay him, I'll kill him. You take him down, you make him fall, and I'll make sure they don't get up. You take him down, and I'll keep him down, brother. Now that's the way it ought to be. Fellowship. And that first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, which within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And what follows from that, God demonstrates he's going to get that victory that day. I'm going to tell you, Jonathan would not have done this alone. He wanted somebody to go into this thing with him. Didn't the Lord put him out there two by two? He wanted somebody to go in there with him. He says to his armor bearer, you in with me? He said, I got your heart, pal. You in with me? He said, I got the same courage. You want to jump out there like a fool and show yourself to those Philistines? I'll do the same thing. I'm climbing up. I believe this is a sign from God. I'm right behind you, pal. I'm killing. Great. You knock them down, and I'll make sure they don't get back up. That is what is needed in God's Christianity today. That's what's needed. It eliminates these problems with church splits and all this fussing and fighting. Let somebody be in charge that has a heart for God and let the other ones fall in behind, and let's go do some damage for Jesus. That's how the disciples did it. That's how this will continue until Jesus comes. God bless you if you are a faithful follower of a good man. You're a prize. You're a jewel, and God bless you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.